Let us pray. Wherever you are, I want you to lift your hands up. You know, when we lift our hands, it's a sign of also saying, Lord, carry me. When the little baby wants to be carried by the parents, they come, they lift up their hands. So, Lord, carry me this morning. I want you to say, carry me, Lord, this morning. Carry me, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. Somebody, let your voice be heard. 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 The Bible says, make a loud noise. I rejoice and sing praise. Somebody make a loud noise in here this morning. Lord, we love you this morning. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him this morning? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Lord, we love you this morning. Be thou exalted and be thou glorified. Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you, Christine. Awesome, awesome job. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I had prepared to do two things this morning because they asked me, to minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the youth. A lot of them are not here today. So I do something, but I had two parts that I was going to do anyway, that the young folks will not be left out. Amen. But I had two parts that I was going to do. So I'm going to start here, and I'm going to tell you, the day of visitation, a certain season or day such as this, it's a day of visitation. And we're going to start here in Psalms 102 and verse 13. And you stay with me because I'm going to read some stories from the Bible that's going to help you. And we're going to use this to do our ministration this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I have been praying and seeking the Lord. And I believe that everybody that is here today, and there are some people, the Lord gave me their names, over the weekend and throughout the night, they were on my mind. Some of them are here, some of them are not. But I already prayed for everyone. Amen. Praise God. And everybody will be healed. Amen. I want to talk especially about healing, but when the Lord is moving, you can get anything you want from the Lord. Amen. But I'm going to focus on healing this morning. The same power of God that brings healing brings everything else. Amen. Now, thou shalt arise, O Lord, and have mercy upon Zion. For their time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. Amen. If you believe that, you can say amen. Now, anytime that you believe this scripture, you can appropriate it for yourself. But today is different. You say it's different? Yes. Let me go quickly to some stories, and they have to stay with me in the back real quick. I'm going to go through some stories very quickly. John chapter 5 and verses 1 through 9. Now, in this story, we see that Bible says that there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. So just flip through it very quickly. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season That's at a certain season. So the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Amen. And there was a certain man. Now notice there was a certain season, and there was also a certain man. I'm going to read you another scripture about a certain day. Now, there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, that's a long time to have an infirmity. So now, when Jesus saw him lie in his bed and knew, now notice, Jesus always knows your situation. Amen. Jesus knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Jesus said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now, there are some of you that have been managing pain, and I was praying about this throughout the week. Managing pain, you know, it's leg pain, it's back pain, it's trouble in your eyes, it's this and that and so forth. The impotent man therefore said unto him, what kind of question is that? I'm here to, I want to be healed, of course, but there's nobody to help me. When the water is troubled, because the guy is lame, you know, it's the first person that gets in, that's it. You know, so when I'm trying to get in the pool, somebody else steps in ahead of me. Amen. Verse 8. And Jesus says to the man, today, it's not about the water. It's not about the angel. It's not about all of that. I'm right here. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen, somebody. Now, if you think that, look, this man has tried, and he kept coming, though, but he kept coming. See, if he had given up the year before, see, every year, you know, this thing happened. You know, they went out, they camped out, and waited for the, they knew about the season of time, but they didn't know exactly when. The angel, when he came, boom, and it troubled that water. When they see that bubbling in that water, whoever gets in there, if you get in too early, it doesn't work. If you get in too late, it doesn't work. You must be the first to step in. So this man, he couldn't do it because he was lame. And, you know, he had all his attention on that troubling of that water, you know. And Jesus said, forget the water today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whatever it is that you've tried that didn't work, forget that today. Jesus is here. Amen. And he said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and walked. And the same day was a Sabbath day. And the rest of the story I won't get into. Now, I notice also that every time that Jesus and even the apostles in the Bible, when they healed somebody, they always tried to make them change their immediate physical situation. If somebody was on the bed, they'll say, get up. Amen? Amen? Take up your bed. Don't stay there and say, I'm healed. If you are healed, get up already. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, look, today is your day of visitation. Amen. You know, maybe somebody got in ahead of you before, but today I'm here for you. Amen. Jesus is here for you. Hallelujah. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, and verse 17. Now, notice that the one we read in John, there was a certain season that the angel came. Also, in this place, it came to pass on a certain day. See, God sets these times. Amen. On a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors sitting by and so forth, and they came out of every place. And the power, that's the one I want to talk about today. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. Amen. Now, let me ask you this. Is the power of the Lord not always present to heal? I mean, why did he have to emphasize to us here that the power of the Lord was present to him? We know the Lord is always present, but there are certain times of visitations. Amen. Amen. And if you believe it, today can be your day of visitation. Hallelujah. Now, there is healing for all. All. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, and all other places in the scriptures, you know, Jesus began to heal. Let's go to the next, previous verse, please. Previous verse. When a even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed. You know, devils. And he cast out the spirits by his word. And healed what? He healed some of them. He healed most of them. He healed all that were sick. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, so there is healing for all today. You know, and I also want to, you know, share something with all of us that are here today. You know, I will be praying for the sick at the end of this ministration. But whatever it is that you are believing God for, you can also believe. But I want to share this because I prepared this for the kids, but I'm going to share this for the parents. Amen. Amen. I'm going to share it for the parents. I'm going to come back and do this. Some of the kids said they wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they don't really know what it's all about. So I was going to give a teaching. I want, on the day that we do this, I want all the kids in the church, all the youngsters, everybody to be here. You know, so maybe we'll just announce it and prepare for it that way. But today, I will do this. I am going to tell the parents some things about their children. Amen. Amen. So if you are here and you are a parent, I want you to listen. There are some wonderful promises that God says about your children. Hallelujah. Even including Holy Spirit baptism. And we'll get to that in a minute. Now, I want parents to be declaring and take note of these scriptures. If you have a note, write them down. If you have a notepad on your iPad phone, write them down, because you've got to use the scriptures over your kids. Amen. Now, I'm going to start here in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. This is a declaration that everyone, now God said this about his, you know, own children, you know, but you know, you can say this about your children. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders. Amen. That's exactly how our children should be. They should be for signs and wonders. I'm going to go through these scriptures very quickly with all these promises, because I'm going to pray at the end. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 3 and 4. If you can help me in the back, we'll go quicker. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That's also like, you know, if you want the Holy Spirit baptism, that's again how you get it. You got to be thirsty. You got to want it. And floods upon the dry ground. But listen to this. I'm not finished with that verse. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. And my blessing upon thy offspring. And these are your children, they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water curses. Amen. They're going to be beautiful. They're going to spring up. Hallelujah. These are promises for your children. Isaiah 49 and verse 25. Let's go. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Hallelujah. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Now listen to this part. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. Every one of your children, God will save them. Amen. Praise the Lord. You just keep telling them the way of the Lord. You know, never mind what's going on. God will save them. Amen. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. All your children, Isaiah 54, 13, shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Amen. Now, your children, you know, there will be peace upon them. So you got to believe that. You got to be quoting these promises for yourself and your children. Amen. Isaiah 59, verse 21. I hope you are taking note of these scriptures. 59 and 21. As for me, this is the Lord speaking, This is my covenant that I will have with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, you know, and so forth. And my words that I put in thy mouth shall not depart. Now, this is to the parents, you know, the godly parents that are filled with the spirit and are troubled about their kids. This is a promise for you. My spirit which is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth, you continue to declare it. He said, those things shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. That's even grandchildren. Hallelujah! God will save them because of your preaching to them and by loving them and showing the word of God and declaring the promises of God upon them. Amen. Now, let's read Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. For I, the Lord, love judgment. Right? I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their walk in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. With whom? Verse 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. Their offspring among all the people. Everyone that see them shall acknowledge them. That they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Amen. Everyone that see your children are going to be set apart. They will be identified with the blessings of God. People will see it upon them. It's like an aura that will be upon them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah 65 and verse 23. Let's go. 65 and 23. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed. Now, you are the seed. He's talking to first the parents, then he's going to talk to your offspring. Now, you will not labor in vain. Amen. You will not bring forth for trouble. You're not going to bear children that are going to be wayward. Amen. For they are the seed of the Lord. You are the seed of the Lord and your offspring along with you. Amen. You are the seed of the Lord. You are the blessed of the Lord and your offspring with you. Amen. Now, I'm going to go to the book of Psalms and read a few verses from there as well. So, go with me quickly in the back. Psalms 103 and verse 17. Now, here are some promises. When I finish these promises that I'm reading, then I will make some declaration. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear him. Are there some folks that fear the Lord in the house here? Put your hands to Jesus if you fear the Lord. Now, remember that the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. Not around everybody, you know. But if you fear the Lord, see, he says the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children. Amen. That's a great promise. Psalms 112, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 112, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Verse 2. His seed. Now, do you fear the Lord? Do you delight in his commandments? Now, listen to this. If you do, your seed, that's your children, they shall be mighty upon the earth. And the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Amen. Psalm 115 and verse 14. This is a blessing for you and your children. Psalm 115 and verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more. Not just you, but you and your children. Amen. The Lord is going to increase you. He's going to bless you more and more. You and your children. You take hold of that and declare it before the Lord all the time. Amen. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Now, we know that children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Verse 4. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I mean, these children, my goodness. You know, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. Your children shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, they're like, you know, they're like, you know, I mean, they're like the, you know, special forces. They are the elites. They know what to do. They know how to fight this battle. You know, the scripture says, ye young men, I have written unto you because you are strong and you have overcome the devil. Amen. So that's the way that this is what we should think of our children. This is how you should think of your children. It's a blessing you should say to your children. Don't say anything negative. Never let anything negative come out of your mouth to your children. Amen. Amen. Because of the accuser of the brethren. Because he's listening and he's going to latch onto it. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. I have a few more scriptures quickly before I pray. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. The just man, that's a righteous man, he walketh in his integrity. And his children are what? His children are blessed after him. Can you say amen to that? Proverbs 22 and verse 6. I just want to give you these scriptures and then you can use them on your own. Here's a promise. Many of us quote this scripture, but I want to give it to you because it's actually in the Bible. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. But sometimes you see that your kids may, you know, look like they're walking away from that. No, you stand with the Lord and say, you said, if I train up my child in the way that he should go, he's not going to depart from it. Amen. And God is going to bring them. I'm going to tell you a wonderful scripture right now of how God is going to bring them back. If you have any child, you know, especially teenagers and so forth, they're just out there doing stuff. You know, they shouldn't be, but just in case they were, you know, this is God. God's going to bring them. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. Get ready, because we're going to pray. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from crying. Many of you have been crying over your children, you know, because, you know, you want this, you want that, you want them to be a certain way. You know, some even want their kids to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They want them to do more for God and so forth. Well, you know, here is God's comfort this morning. Refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears. For your walk and your labor over this, your children, shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Wherever they have gone astray, backsliding and so forth, God is going to bring them. Amen. Can somebody say amen to that? God is going to bring them again. And there is hope in the end. And in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again into their own border. You know, every spirit-filled, God-fearing parent, they want their children to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They want their children to be doing things from the Lord, for the Lord, and so forth. Children, you know, they have their own ways. You know, they love the Lord and so forth, but they're not as sometimes excitable as we are and so forth like that, the parents. But I tell you what, they are coming in. Amen. Their children are coming in. Now, here's the promise that God gives to the children. This is the promise for them. In the book of Joel, you know, chapter 2 and verse 28. We're also going to read of it in the book of Acts. In the book of Joel 2:28, it says, it shall come to pass afterward like this, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, but the youngsters will not be left out. Now, sometimes the children think that, well, you know, this is the God of the adults. Come to the service, you know, and maybe sometimes our services are tailored more to the adults. Well, that's going to change. Amen. Praise God. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Can somebody say amen to that? Well, Philip had four daughters that did prophesy, you know. I will pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters. Well, old men are not left out too. You know, old men who are tired and sleeping, they will be visited even in dreams. Amen. Yeah, I want to be among the young men. Amen. I want to be among the old ones. You know, I want to be among the young men. Hallelujah. You know, your young men shall see visions. Praise God. The Spirit of God will come upon them. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 2, and many people know this story. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, you know, they were gathered together in one place, in one accord and so forth, as Jesus told them to wait. And the next thing they know, in verses 1 through 4, the Holy Ghost came upon them. There was a moving and a stirring and a wind blowing through the house, and cloven tongues of fire came upon them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, for God to really use you, your flesh has to be on fire. Amen. Amen. That he got to put it on the fire. He got to burn that flesh. God hates the flesh, and the flesh hates God. But that Holy Ghost, cloven tongues of fire coming upon their flesh, they are telling them something, telling us something even now. But listen to this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17. I'm going to just read two verses in Acts 2, 17. 17, and then we're going to jump to 39. So let's read 17 first. You know, they said, look, they thought the people were drunk. And Peter said, no, these people are not drunk, seeing that it's only, you know, the third hour of the day. It's only like 9 a.m. People are not drunk, usually by that time. But this is that which was promised by the prophet, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters. So he was quoting the prophecy of Joel. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy and so forth. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And verse 39. And then, you know, the people, initially they asked him, he said, look, what are we going to do to be saved? You know, he said, look, you know, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read verse 38 first, before I read that. The previous verse, please. They had asked him, what are we going to do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. A lot, majority of the people that were there were adults. But the Holy Ghost is going to make it clear that this is not just for adults. And Peter said unto them, if you repent, you baptize, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he went on in verse 39 and said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There is nobody that is too young to receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I would love to see all these youngsters, 7-year-old, 6-year-old, 12-year-old, 15, 20, 21, slain in the Holy Ghost. And the next time we do this, that's what's going to happen. Amen. You know, so we will announce a day that we will do this and make sure that your children are here. Get them in here. They don't go to work on that day. Come and have an encounter with God. Amen. For this promise is unto you. Praise the Lord. Now, what is the Holy Spirit supposed to do in our lives? Because some of the young stars that ask the question, you know, some of them, when they're thinking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're actually thinking of, they say, well, I want to speak in tongues. No. Let me set that record straight. Amen. Amen. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about speaking in tongues. That's not what it is. So let me give you these scriptures. You can write it down. The next time we do the real thing, I'm praying for the children, we'll go over the scriptures again so everybody understands it. But you can write it down and teach it to your children. So let me give it to you. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, this was John the Baptist talking about when the people came to him to be baptized. He said, look, I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one that is coming after me that is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not able to even unlace or lace. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire. The Holy Ghost comes to set you ablaze for God. Amen. You know, if you've been timid, like Peter, he was timid. He could not even witness to a maid. He denied Christ before a maid on the day that Christ was to be crucified. This same Peter. And everybody that came to him, you are also one of them. They said, no, I don't know him. Well, this same Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he stood up after the Holy Ghost came upon him. And he said, ye have crucified the Christ. And he indicted them. He wasn't afraid. 3,000 souls gave their life to Christ just right there. And Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall receive power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Put it up, please. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. Hello. You know, this power is missing from the lives of most people, even adults that say they have the Holy Ghost. Because they focus on speaking in tongues. And they have no power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to be my witnesses. Hallelujah. You will be bold for Christ. This is what the Holy Ghost can do for you, young folks, and so forth. This is what he will do for you. Now listen to John chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus himself teaching his disciples what to expect. John chapter 14. Let's read quickly verses 15 to 17. Jesus was telling them, if you love me, keep my commandments. Next verse. Let's go through this quickly. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's the Holy Ghost. That he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. Notice that's capital S. The Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Holy Ghost is referred to as a him, not it. Him. Amen. The Holy Ghost is referred to as a him. You know, because the world, you know, Jesus is talking about the world. The world is it, but the Holy Ghost is him. The world cannot receive him because it, the world, seeth him, the Holy Ghost, not. Neither knoweth him. He's a person, you know, but ye know him. Hallelujah. And there is a distinction between the Holy Ghost dwelling with you and the Holy Ghost being in you. There's a difference right here. Because some people say, oh, you know, when you are saved, you are filled with the Holy Ghost to some degree. The Holy Ghost is with you at salvation. But he will be in you, right here. He will be in you later on when you receive that fullness of that baptism. Hallelujah, somebody. Big difference, folks. When the Holy Ghost is with you, he's with you in a degree, in a measure. But when he comes inside of you, he puts your flesh on fire. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this also. In the same chapter, let's go to verse 26. Same chapter of 14. Stay with me there. Verse 26. He said, the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost. So now make no mistake about it. Whom the Father will send in my name. He, now again, it's not an it. He shall teach you all things. Now these scriptures I'm reading are the things that the Holy Ghost should do in your life. Don't focus on tongues. These are the things that you should do. He will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. Now, praise God. I have a few more, but I'll save that for later because we are running out of time. So, these are some of the things that the Holy Ghost will do for you. But let me also read one last scripture just to show you the difference between when you are saved and when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. We are going to take this story from Acts chapter 19. We're going to read from about verses 1 through 6. If you can put it up quickly, I'm going to go through this very quickly. Now, it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, he came upon certain disciples. These people were disciples that Paul found. They were disciples. So when Paul found them, he asked them a question. Have you, disciples, these are believers, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? From the time you believed until now, have you received the Holy Ghost? Now, that question would be silly if everybody received the Holy Ghost when they believed. Amen. Hello. situation will be silly. If everybody received the Holy Ghost when they believed, there will be no question for Paul to be asking them, you guys are believers. I notice you are believers. I see the zeal of God in you. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you became believers? So that question is important. And these people say, look at the answer. And the answer of the message, we have not even so much as heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. But they are believers. But they have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And then Paul was surprised. Unto what then were you baptized? How come you didn't hear about the Holy Ghost? What did you baptize? Well, we were baptized by John. And they want to say, hey, you know, we got John's baptism. You know. And Paul said, look, John's baptism was different. John baptized you unto repentance. John said it himself. We read it in Matthew 3:11. John was baptizing people unto repentance, looking for the Christ. But he said, the Christ will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So there's a difference in the water baptism. And there's a difference in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Can somebody say amen? And Paul said to them, look, John truly baptized you with the baptism of repentance. You know, but, you know, he was pointing them to the Christ. Now, what happened? Verse 5. Now, when the people heard this, they were baptized. This is a second baptism, folks. They were baptized before. Now they are being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, again, water baptism. Some people actually did water baptism twice. These people were first baptized. They didn't even understand what they were saying. And Paul said, forget all that. He baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice that. That's how they baptized throughout the gospel. I mean, throughout the apostles, you know, Acts of Apostles. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they began to speak with tongues. Now, the speaking in tongues is what catches people's attention. But that's not the only thing. They also prophesied. Hallelujah. If you can speak in tongues when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you better should be able to prophesy as well. Because in most places in the Bible where they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Hallelujah. Now, before I pray, I'm going to tell you, young folks, a story. I was a young man first. I like to kid myself that I'm still a young man. That's not true. You know. But I'm young in the spirit. Amen. You know, there's heaven is not a retirement center, folks. Praise God. There's no such things. Even those prophets, when they go, they are still walking. One of them came to John in Revelation 19 and 10. And John was trying, he was showing John some things. And John was trying, he said, No. I'm of your servants, the prophets. Your brethren, the prophets. I'm just like you. Don't bow down to me. Amen. You know, so those prophets, there's no retirement in heaven. Amen. Faith. Hallelujah. So, that aside. But when I was a young man, I want to tell you the power, how this Holy Ghost works. I was in a place called the Federal School of Science. This is in Lagos, Nigeria, in my home country. But I was there and we were having fellowship. And when we would be having fellowship like this, listen to me, folks. Young, every one of us were young. I was 19 going on 20. There was nobody that was even 22 and above in those meetings. You know? So, some were younger. When we would be having fellowship like this, as we're having fellowship, the students would come. And they would line up in the front of we were doing it in a hall, and so the room had all glass windows. And so they would line up in the corridor, looking in the glass, and say, what are these folks doing? They would just be mocking, like that. And we would be having our fellowship, praising the Lord, and so forth. You know, true story, folks, this happened multiple occasions. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost would just come in that fellowship. And then when that happens, nothing happened to those people until that happened. But when that happened, all these people that are outside there, every single last of one of them, and this is the truth, I lie not. Every single last one of them, they will come inside.
They will fall down. We didn't preach to them. We're just having our fellowship. They will come down. They will fall down. They will say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Nobody said anything to them. Lord, have mercy upon me. They are praying. They are, you know, and some of them will start to manifest. Some of you will know what that means. You know, and God will start to live in them. They will receive the Holy Ghost right there. They will start to prophesy. They will speak in tongues. The school was on fire. Because the Holy Ghost came down. This is what the Holy Ghost does, folks. It happened multiple times. And one day, we were starting the fellowship again. And I left. I went to the bathroom. And there were two guys there in the bathroom. One said to his fellow, these SU people have started again. The other guy said, these ones are not SU. These ones are on fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you may not know what SU means. Scripture Union. I was even president of the Scripture Union in my time. But Scripture Union didn't believe anything in the Holy Ghost and things like that. Nowadays, they were fighting it. They loved the scriptures, and I was saved through that. But, you know, they were fighting the Holy Ghost and so. And this one said to his fellow, these ones are not scripture, you know. No. These ones are fire. Hallelujah. And I was just saying, that's what I'm talking about. Woo! Praise God. That's what the Holy Ghost does for you. You know, he makes a differentiation between you and the people. I'll tell you one last story, and I'm going to pray. And I will still pray for some folks that want healing. I'm going to pray for some that want the Holy Ghost. But we're going to do it again. One day, I was in the cafeteria. And I just joined the school. And everybody was crowded onto many tables. And I saw one empty table, and nobody was there. And I said, well, so I went and sat down there. And somebody came over and said, well, do you know what this table is? I said, an empty table. There's this group called the Pirates. I mean, they're like 6'5", all of them big. They drink blood. They do all kinds of things. You know, they kill you if you sit on their table. I didn't know. I just sat on the table. And this person was having mercy on me. He said, and he told me, he said, the last person that sat on that table was carried out with a broken elbow. You know, you better leave that table before they come in. And I'm like, are these people students of this school? They say, yeah. I said, so I just sat down. Hallelujah! Praise God. Now, these hefty guys came in. Praise God. They took one look at me. I don't know what they did or didn't do. I don't know what they saw, but I heard some rumors later on. You know, and they just laughed one by one. Then I said, yeah! Now, that's what I'm talking about. Praise God. I didn't know this at the time. I learned this when I came to the U.S. But it's like saying, there's a new sheriff in town. I didn't know that at the time. But I could have said that. There's a new sheriff in town. Praise God. Because I had the Holy Ghost. And God was protecting me. A few weeks later, I was going into the dorm. And we had this dorm lined up like this. And this is for young people. Lined up when the Holy Ghost is in your life. This is what you'll be doing. Signs and wonders, exploits. Not just speaking in tongues. You speak in tongues, but you'll be doing these things. I was going into the dormitory. And this dormitory was lined up like this. And long place. And you can, there are doors. You can enter from this door, or enter from here, or enter from there, or enter from there. You guys get the picture. You know. And these guys, these pirates, they took the first few entrances. All the dormitory joined together. You can pass from one door to the other. But nobody dared to pass that door. You have to go to the end. You can't pass through there. So one day I was like, come on. So I just passed through the first door, you know. Then I saw them. They were initiating one man. He was being initiated. And he was rolling on the ground. These huge boys, they were there. Some of them were smoking joints and all kinds of things. And they were there, you know. And it turned out to be, I found out later, turned out to be this was somebody that we had tried to witness to that didn't want to believe. So when I was passing by, you know, and I found out later, you know, the reason why they didn't deal with me that day was they saw something when they came to the cafeteria. Hallelujah. And when I came in that day, all of them just, I was even smaller than this. As soon as I came, and the guy, when I was passing by, he just grabbed my leg. And when he grabbed my leg, I'm like, why are you grabbing my leg? He was rolling on the ground. And then I bent down and said, pray for me. He just whispered it. I said, I didn't hear you. Say it loud so that they can hear. Hallelujah. I was so bold. And these guys, they can crush my neck with one hand. These guys are huge. This boy was given a concoction to drink. They gave him blood and everything. And he was, So I said, say it aloud. So he said, pray for me. And then so I turn around, look at all these huge guys. And I say, all right, we're going to pray. And they snuff their cigarettes. Hallelujah. They snuff their cigarette. And they were like, and then I say, Masho Taralabakundias. Come out of him in Jesus' name. He rolled like this. Roll. And he got up and ran to the bathroom. The bathroom was just like few. And my goodness, the thing he puked that day. Oh my goodness. But that's the power of God. Next time around, that guy was in the fellowship with some of his folks. Amen. Some of his folks came. Hallelujah. This is how Holy Ghost works in you. Now I want you to stand to your feet. If you want the Holy Ghost today, I want you to step forward. And if you want healing, I want you to step forward as well. I want healing, folks, on this side. And I want the Holy Ghost people on the other, on this side, right here. Come on, folks, let's do it. Anything that is plaguing you, like that man, 38 years. What did I say? I think I said healing was on this side, right? Healing is on this side, right? Holy Ghost, you want your flesh to be on fire. You be on this side. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor Emmanuel, Pastor Peter, put your masks on and come and help me with these folks. Come on down. Let's pray for these people. It's not about me. It's Jesus that's going to heal you. Amen. It doesn't matter who prays for you. Jesus is the one that's going to heal you. Pastor Augustine, come on up. Praise God. Help me pray for these people that are looking for healing here today. Put your mask on and go near and pray for them. I am going to minister to these people that are here for Holy Ghost. But before I do that, I want to indulge. I want everybody else indulge me for 1 minute. Musicians, everybody. That's one last story I want to tell you. Just came to mind. I didn't plan to tell any of these stories. But one last story just came to mind. I was a very young man. This is what the Holy Ghost can do in your life. And my wife knows this story. We were not married then. But we were going out to preach or going somewhere. And I was a crazy man. Crazy man somewhere. Those of you who are from Lagos might know this. And if you don't know, Lagos is a city in Nigeria. In a place called Race Course. He was there. He had his own area. Nobody dared to pass by that place. And most of the time when people got there, they have to cross to the other side. But this man, he would jump on you, tear you to pieces. Wild man. I was going with my wife and we got close to that place. And I said, well, we weren't quite married then. I said, let's cross to the other side. And we're going to cross to the other side. And Holy Ghost rebuked me. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost will do in your life. He said, why are you crossing to the other side? I'm like, hey, I got to protect my woman. Go back there and set him free. Amen. I went back there. True story, guys. Can I ask my wife? And I got in there. This man came out. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of him.
And I didn't know, and he had been there for years. He did some things. He stopped short of me like this in front of me. And Holy Ghost took him. Wow. You know, a few minutes, he did all kinds of gyrations. A few minutes later, I said, wow, where am I? Hallelujah. Where am I? My wife and I, we took him down to Salvation Army. Got in some clothes. He was in the fellowship next time. Hallelujah. I gave the testimony in the fellowship. This is what Holy Ghost does. One brother jumped up and said, "Hey, you set crazy person free. I'm going out to look for some mad people." Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's pray for these people. Ministers, help me to minister to the people who are there for deliverance and healing. Yeah, this side over here. This here is Holy Ghost. Flesh on fire. You want flesh, your flesh to be on fire. It's not about speaking in tongues, folks. And when I pray over you, I'm not even going to speak in tongues. Because I don't want you to learn what I'm saying. You know, it's not about that. But you must receive the power. Power of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say power. That's right. Praise God. Now, I know some of you have been baptized because I baptized some of you. But even if you have not been baptized, we have stories in the Bible of people who received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. The normal thing is for you to be baptized in water before then. But doesn't matter. Lift up your hands and we're going to pray. I want you to say, Jesus, fill me with that Holy Ghost. Baptize me with that Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus. Now, this is more than speaking in tongues, young folks. It's more than speaking in tongues. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, it's like when you hear, you know, it's bubbling. You know, you're boiling keru, right? You're boiling water in keru. Have some of you seen water boiling in keru? Have you seen that? Water boiling keru. You know, after it's bubbling, bubbling, and then there's some whistling, you know, that you hear from that. And so on. You know, Holy Ghost. Bubbling inside you. That's what Jesus said. He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. Be bubbling inside of you. As the Spirit gives you utterance, Holy Ghost will give you utterance. But I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to lay my hands because Paul laid his hands. Let me have my mask on. Sing it softly. Go ahead and sing it softly. I'm going to put my mask on. I'm going to lay my hands on you. In the name of Jesus, he's a great baptizer. Baptize him with the Holy Ghost. And with fire. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost with power. And with fire in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Ghost with power and with fire. Flesh on fire. In the name of Jesus. This is the day of visitation. You may not have come out for healing. You may not have come out for Holy Ghost baptism. But when these ministers are praying over you now, whatever it is, hallelujah. Now, I want the ministers to have liberty. Begin to declare the goodness of God over the whole congregation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Declare it. Begin to declare it for them. Where's Pastor Peter? He's praying for somebody there. Declare it. And you that have been crying. The Lord say, cry no more. Yeah. He will do it. He will do it, folks. Let the ministers take some time. Pray over the people. In the name of Jesus. Declare over them whatever God puts in your mind. In the last day. That great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, Out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. That's all the Holy Ghost is all about. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't stop. Don't stop. Release. Release that Holy Ghost. Those of you who were just prayed for, open your mouth. Say, open your mouth wide and I will feel it. Open your mouth as the Spirit gives you utterance. Begin to speak. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let me give you one more testimony. This is for you young people. I know some of you may be away from school or whatever, but when you do get back to school, and if you're back in school, turn the campus on fire.
Amen.
In the same place where I gave you testimony before, there was a man. Some of you may have heard this before. He was born deaf and dumb from his youth and up. He was a grown man and he was selling this Samco fan milk or ice cream. Some of you may know that. Those who are older. Chocolate milk. They had this triangular cone thing. He sold that. Everybody patronized him in the school. His name was Sam. He sold Samco, so that's why I remember the story. And everybody... He had never spoken. When they come to him, it's like sign language to buy and to get their change. Hallelujah. So one day, this man, he came to the fellowship. That's right. That's the fellowship that people were coming in and falling down. This man, he came to the fellowship. He ran out of that place. He was shouting Jesus. He was singing and he was praising God. He was running all over the school. He had never spoken a word. He didn't even hear. He cannot speak. And everybody said, ah, is that not Sam? Revival in the whole school. Hey. The whole school. Everybody said, God is real. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. It's not just only about speaking in tongues, folks. You must be on fire. Now lift up your hands and let's pray. And I'm going to turn it over to the praise team for the last rally. Father Lord, you have done great things here today. Whereof we are glad. Those of you that were prayed for healing, it is done. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. It is done. Just go back and check it. Have your doctors check it. Whatever it is gone in Jesus' name. And those of you that were prayed for to receive the Holy Ghost, it is also done in Jesus' name. When you get home, get into your closet and begin to blast. Forget television. Just get into his presence for a while and let the Holy Ghost soak you in. You're going to get revelation. You're going to get prophecy. You're going to get diverse kinds of tongues. You're going to even get interpretations. Even when you will be seeing vision, open eye vision. And when you begin to see this in dreams and whatever, write them down. If you don't understand, write them down. Folks will help you later. But the visitation, this is the day of our visitation, folks. Let's put our hands together, everybody. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Praise Him.